Hello and welcome to the Promised Land, a show all about Manchester United. I'm part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined as ever by Rob Blanchett. How are you today, Rob?
Very hot still, you know, very humid, isn't it? And it's quite nice to have some sunshine still, but it's just, you know, when you're recording in these hot studios that we have at home, it can get a little bit much, but we'll cope with it. The water's next to me here. We'll survive.
Is your blood boiling because of the Glazers' dividends, Rob? We'll talk about that in a quick minute. But yes, just the plugs before we get into anything. You can subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And watch us twice a week now on Tuesdays and Fridays on YouTube. So head over to the channel, hit the like button, subscribe, join the community. The link should be in the description of this episode as well if you're listening on an audio platform. And you can follow us on Twitter at underscore Scott Saunders, at underscore Rob underscore B. And at Promised Land MU. Today, we'll talk about the dividends. Obviously, £11 million is due to be taken out of the club today as we record this on Friday morning, June 24th. We'll talk about the lack of signings that Man United have made. We're seeing that a lot of fans are starting to get quite frustrated and upset that Liverpool signed Darwin Nunez, Man City signed Erling Haaland, Arsenal signed a midfielder this week and are going for two Brazilian forwards at the moment by the looks of it. And United have done nothing apart from release a few players. So obviously we'll talk, I'm sure we'll mention Frankie de Jong at some point, but we'll also mention one of his former Ajax teammates, Matthijs de Ligt as well, who is rumoured to be leaving Juventus. We'll discuss whether he would be a good fit at United. We'll talk about Cristiano Ronaldo being reportedly unhappy at the lack of signings that we just mentioned. And we'll talk Antony to Chelsea or to United as well, as we reported on 90 Min a few days ago. And we'll talk preseason training because this is the last episode that we will do, Rob, before preseason training starts on Monday for the players who didn't represent their international teams a few weeks ago. So let's start with dividends day. Happy dividends day, Rob. £11 million due to be taken out of the club today. Obviously, we know that the Glazers have taken, I don't know the exact figure, but a lot of money. Out of the club since they took over United in 2005. And this aligned with the lack of action on the incomings front and their refusal, in a sense, maybe not refusal, but their lack of activity with bringing in players and spending money on, you know, players and the stadium and all this kind of stuff. The training ground is making United fans frustrated. How are you feeling about that today? Because it's bad timing. Is it ever good timing? But it also is bad timing given United haven't done anything yet.
Well, Manchester United are a bad PR machine anyway and always have been under the Glazers. You know, they don't really hide the reasons why they own Manchester United. The reasons why they own our football club is to cream the top off of the layer of the cake and say, well, that little bit is ours. That goes in our private bank accounts. We can do what we want with that. That's our money for owning the club. And then we'll just operate it as a business. That's what they do. How do I feel about the dividends? Well, of course, I do not agree that they should take dividends out of the club, but I'm also realistic. All owners take dividends out of their football club in general. They do. Now, there are some owners who are a little bit more PR conscious and just will hide behind things. I think the one you see most at most football clubs is they'll hide behind a new signing. So on the flip side of that, Scott, I've got no interest as a United fan to bury my head in the sand because United have just signed another shirt seller. I think it's really important this time around that we got a new manager that, yes, you're going to take your dividend out, but make sure you restructure and reboot this project in the correct manner. So that's how I feel about it. I get why United fans are upset about £11 million leaving the football club, but out of a football club that's worth billions, it's a very small percentage. Now, again, that doesn't make it right, but it doesn't stop you making signings. It doesn't stop you sorting a new stadium out. You know, it doesn't stop you investing. It just means that that's what the Glazers do it for, and it goes into their personal bank accounts. And someone said to me, who's a football analyst around football business, they said, you know, there's two theories on this. The Glazers, you think, would make more money just selling the club and putting all that money in their pockets. But the reason why they do this is it is like their own little bank account. 11 million here, 20 million there. And it bolsters their family, their wealth, their personal wealth. And of course, they've got plenty of other businesses as well. But does it upset me? again, it's a bit like United. To me, it's like problem number 27 on the list at Manchester United under his owners. So, no, 11 million today, it will be there, it will be gone. It's not the reason why you haven't got De Jong from Barcelona. It's not the reason why Anthony hasn't signed from Ajax yet. It's just how it is, just how football is structured to allow owners to cream off their own football clubs that they own.
Yeah, I hear you. Gary Neville is among the high-profile figures to come out in criticism of it. He's tweeted on Friday morning with a screen grab of Christian Eriksen choosing between Brentford and Man United. Obviously, that's still the case. I think he's on holiday, as far as I understand it, at the moment, and will make a decision on where he goes soon, whenever he's back. He says, that's why dividends have to stop for a period. I think he's called for about a three-year amnesty or a three-year delay for this happening. That's why dividends have to stop for a period. Every penny has to go back into the club until it becomes attractive again. The club has become a graveyard for players. Culturally, for owners to take money out of a poorly performing business is demoralizing. And Man United Supporters Trust as well have put out a series of tweets this morning. I don't think it's an official statement, but some tweets. Today, the Glazers paid themselves a lion's share of an 11 million dividend at the end of one of the worst seasons in living memory. Reward for failure is poor practice in any business and totally unacceptable given the current state of things at United, both on the playing field and in the stadium. United is a club in dire need of investment. To see more money going out of the door to owners while so far this summer seeing nothing invested into new players is little more than an insult. And it does go on as well for a few more tweets after that. But yeah, I do understand the frustration. But like you say, Rob, I mean, yeah, I think United will end up spending a lot of money this summer at some point. It's just when will that end up happening? We all know that Frankie de Jong is the main target at the moment, and United are haggling with Barcelona over a price. While Barcelona themselves are holding out for, I don't know if you noticed this, but Barcelona holding out themselves for, you know, the highest possible price that they can get for De Jong and will not budge on that. But they're yet doing the same thing to Bayern Munich with Robert Lewandowski, who are holding out for 50 million euros and they bid underneath that. So it's just, yeah, it's just the way football clubs are kind of running.
The logjam. It's the logjam.
It is, yeah. And I think once one moves, perhaps De Jong, I think once there's an agreement struck there, maybe we'll see a whole host of things move a bit faster. Just on that for a second, Rob, actually, how important is De Jong? How important is this happening, this De Jong deal? And how important is it that he does come in before? Because we talked off air about this, actually. The transfer window closes on September 1st. But how important is it before or for De Jong to get in at the start of his preseason training, which is meant to be on July the 8th after his holiday?
Well, ideally, you'd want the player today, wouldn't you? You'd want it done and dusted and say, you start work on this date, mate, and let's go. But football rarely works like that, even outside of Manchester United. I know people have this idea that at other football clubs, it's just all so smooth and easy and players arrive and come and go and it's just, you know, in and out the door. But I think what's more important, Scott, is that United get these first signings under Ten Hag correct. So he wants De Jong, he wants Anthony, get them. I don't care if you get them this week or next week or the day before September the 1st. Get them. Get them and for the new manager so he can build what he wants to build. Now, that doesn't go with fan narrative. Fans want to be fluffed all the time about transfers. They want to be excited. It's part of the kind of rigmarole of fandom. But unfortunately, it's just not where we are. Manchester United are a football club whose reputation are in tatters. Just to revisit what you just said there about what Gary Neville said about the Glazers and about dividends and one thing or another. Gary's coming from a standpoint of moralism, of owning a football club. The Glazers don't have morals. What's the point in asking them to be moralistic around their football club and their investment? There is no point. So we have to kind of take it from a different angle because most clubs do have their owners take money out of the football club. It's just how it works. You know, we said that Gary's owned Salford and he's put a lot of money into that football club. But there will come a time that if Salford ever got to the Premier League, where Gary might take a dividend out of that football club. just how it works. But I think with the Glazers' ownership, what we would demand as Man United fans is that they look after the lifeblood of the club better than they have. That the debt is taken away, that you do build a new stadium, that investment is regular and it occurs not in fits and starts, and you don't sack a manager every 2 years. You know, that's kind of what we're demanding, I think, as fans. Or you say to them, sell the club. That's the other side of it, isn't it? Sell it, but sell it to someone that cares about Manchester United, not some conglomerate from the Middle East or something like that, because I think then you have additional problems. So it's once again, isn't it, the story of Manchester United, Scott, isn't it? It's just, it's a juggling act. And I hope that, like, if we did sign De Jong tomorrow, the United fans suddenly aren't satisfied, because I think that's a problem, isn't it? A year ago, we signed Ronaldo, and a lot of United fans bought the shirt and shut their mouths. And that's not good enough, because I think we saw how that season turned out. It's easy to do that. It's easy to sign players to shut fans up. And that's not really what we want at United.
I don't think I've bought a shirt or any piece of United merchandise since about 2011. So, haven't been putting my money in their pockets.
Well, the Glazers know when they signed Ronaldo, they saw the shirt sales and they went, this works. This shuts fans up. Look at the sack. You go in the shop at United, and it's literally a tiny bit for all the players, and then rows of Ronaldo. And why is that? Because fans are going and they're buying it. So if Ronaldo shuts you up, Ronaldo's on £50 million in 2 years. That's a lot of money for one player on a contract. But they understand that that's how their game works, the Glazers, in terms of commercialism. So I think United fans have to be a bit smarter as well when it comes to this kind of whole, you know, I always call it the ecosystem of like transfers, to make sure that you understand why the football club is operating as it does.
Let's talk Ronaldo. There are suggestions in the last few days. There was a link between Ronaldo and Bayern Munich, which has been shut down. I don't think that's going to happen. It's the least Bayern Munich signing I think I've ever seen in my life. Been ruled out pretty quickly, but there are suggestions that Ronaldo is unhappy with the lack of signings because he is, what, I think he's 38 now. He has obviously joined United last summer with the impression that United would end up challenging for titles, but we all know how that went. The suggestions that he's unhappy at the lack of signings, while other clubs like Manchester City sign Erling Haaland, Liverpool sign Darwin Nunez, Arsenal sign a player, Chelsea will, obviously they've had the ownership stuff hanging over them, so they'll be at business soon, I would think. But they've let Romelu Lukaku go. Any comment to make on that, actually, before we go into the Ronaldo thing? Because United got a lot of stick for selling Romelu Lukaku, didn't they? And it's gone worse for Chelsea somehow.
It was a strange signing if your manager's Thomas Tuchel, and there was a feeling that Thomas Tuchel might not have been the Chelsea manager this year going back over time. So there was a theory around Lukaku being for whoever the next manager would be. But then that damn Tuchel, he won a Champions League, didn't he? He kind of kept his job, and Romelu Lukaku was shown that he can't operate in his system. And everyone knew it before it happened. So it's a strange one. Does not surprise me at all. He didn't really want to leave Italy. Like, that was, again, the big line that when he signed for Chelsea and did the whole I'm coming home thing, there was another narrative where he was saying to other people, I'm really at home in Italy and I love it in Milan, and, you know, kind of doing this because the money's on the table and Inter are selling me. And that happens in football. It's a professional business, isn't it? But at the same time, it does not surprise me that he hasn't been able to maybe impose himself on a Chelsea team where he doesn't really fit at all. Chelsea would go out and find players that will fit their system now. And I think taking Lukaku's big wage off the wage bill was essential.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people tipped Chelsea to win the league with Lukaku up front last season. I wasn't one of those. But, you know, it didn't go well. It hasn't gone well. They paid a lot of money for him, have shipped him off on loan now for a relatively small loan fee. And I think, as far as I understand, they'll figure out a transfer fee later, because Chelsea didn't want an option in the deal. Inter didn't want an obligation. So, yeah, weird one, that one.
Strange one, but also, again, not really a surprise, because I think this is the thing. Chelsea themselves are a little bit in transition and they need to find the right players for this lot. Like, they bought Lukaku, and as you said there, it was like, well, now Chelsea will compete for the title. And I think, as it shows, like, Manchester United went and got Cristiano Ronaldo, who scores loads of goals, but it actually made the team worse. Not blaming Cristiano, but it did make the team worse. They didn't win games. So I think Chelsea are a little bit like that. I think they finished the season pretty poorly overall, and they never really clicked with him up top. And you still see that they're a better team when they play a false nine. Yet I hear Chelsea fans tell me all the time, we need a number nine, we need a number nine. So football's not going that way. I know City have just bought the ultimate number nine, but they will still be operating a system that allows their other players to thrive. And I think at Chelsea, that was a problem. It was either Lukaku or bust, and it was bust. So they've moved him off because he doesn't help them win. And I think you always got to look at your big players. And that's the big question you always ask. Do they help to help us win? If the answer is no, go. Move them on as quick as you can.
I definitely shoehorned that bit in as I mentioned Lukaku's name there. Sorry, Rob. We'll get back to the Ronaldo part. Unhappy at the lack of signings is the suggestion. He's been on holiday, though. I'd imagine, yes, obviously, it's Cristiano Ronaldo who wants to end up winning trophies. And the suggestions are that if United don't make signings that he's happy with this summer, that he'd look to leave at the end of the transfer window. Rob, do you believe that to be the case? Do you think that will actually end up coming about? Let's go with that question, actually, to start with.
No, the answer is no. Why is the answer no? The answer is no, because Manchester United are guaranteed him £25 million in wages this year, which is about £500,000 a week. Who else is going to give him that? No one. Excuse me. So it's basically that. It's a business deal, isn't it? So Cristiano, like all the United players central to the cause of where you want to be this season, will want United to make signings. I mean, Luke Shaw being the most kind of vocal in years gone by, he would talk about signings a little bit more progressively and say, we need this position, we need to do this, we need to do that. So there is that at Manchester United, but I really don't think Cristiano's banging on any doors. He knows he's at the club for 12 months. He's going to get paid a load of money. And Cristiano knows that he wants the football club to be about him, because he loves all that. That's part of his ego and his ethos. So, yes, he wants United to make signings, but he's certainly not going to put in a transfer demand at the end and say, sell me, please, because he's not going to get £25 million from any other football club over a 12-month period. Even PSG have come out, haven't they, this week, and said, the days of bling are over. And the reason why they've said that is, one, because they haven't won what they want to win with the days of bling, but two, they've paid an extortionate amount of wages to players who are not loyal to their football club. Well, more for you. Manchester United have done exactly the same thing. So this is, I think, where football wants to be more organic and wants to kind of, you know, wants to make stars again rather than buying them. And there's literally no one in the world who would buy Cristiano Ronaldo and give him £25 million this year. The only club that would do that is the one that's doing it right now. And that's his one that he's got. That's why he's not leaving.
PSG also do have a case of, they have Neymar in tow, and there's been rumours this week of them wanting to sell him, even though his contract will renew for another 2 years on July 1st. If this was United 1 year ago, I mean, I'd be looking at Neymar thinking, oh no.
Don't be careful what you say. Be really careful what you say about Neymar. Do not be surprised if United get involved in that somehow. Do not be surprised, because again, it's easy to go and get a star. Like, you can do it, put the wages on the table, construct a really nice commercial deal. You bring him in and it shows your fans that you're serious. But the truth is, it doesn't. It shows your fans that you're reckless. So PSG are shopping in Neymar, they are. But Neymar has been very clear early doors straight away saying, I want to stay. He's on a good deal there. He doesn't want to leave. And he believes that he can still be the superstar at that club, even though there's another superstar, you know, right next to him there, and another superstar right next to him there. He still believes that he can help them win Champions League. So, but wait and see on that, because he's being shopped, and there'll be clubs interested. We just mentioned Chelsea a minute ago. I think they're one of the clubs as well.
We'd quite like to see him in the Premier League, but, you know.
Well, exactly.
I'm just saying it was kind of like the Van Gaal joke a few years ago. Great for the Premier League, you just don't want them at your club, do you? It was that kind of thing. But anyway, I've digressed enough there, Rob. United, I have this in my notes as well. This is from The Athletic, just a note to point out. They've done a good piece on obviously all the financial stuff and the Glazer ownership today. A little tidbit coming from there. Man United's player sale profit since 2012 is 110 million compared to Liverpool's 358, Chelsea's 583, and Man City's 233. That's significantly lower. We were talking, we've talked about this on a previous show before. United, I think United's third record sale or fourth record sale still is David Beckham in 2003. And bringing in the Neymar chat and all this kind of stuff, you just want Man United to act more like a serious football club who know what they're doing. And there's so many different things that point to the fact that United aren't acting like that at the moment. It's really hard to believe that anything's going to change in the future until you actually see it happen in front of you, isn't it?
See, that fact and stat bothers me so much more than the £11 million in dividends, because it shows that they're negligent in how they do their football business. So we've always heard, haven't we, that United like resale value. We want players to come in that we can develop and then resell, and we'll make the money and we'll move it on. Man United have never done that. They've never done it successfully. They did it with one player, Cristiano Ronaldo, who's now back at the football club. So they've never really taken that, you know, philosophy of getting a Coutinho, developing, and then flogging him at the highest price possible to the most stupid bidder. Sorry, Barcelona.
They did it
fans.
With Dan James, Rob. What are you talking about?
they did do it with Dan James and made like whatever it was, £8 million profit or whatever. Well done, you know, like, you know, clapping away there. But that's the truth. You know, I look at that and that shows me that they're just really bad at doing the football business. Because you're going to sell players, okay, sell them for high price and then buy again and go again. Kind of like what Ajax do. That's how Ajax operate. That's how lots of clubs operate. But Manchester United have just never done it. Why'd they not do it? Because they pay the most in wages and they do pay ridiculous fees and agents' fees. So all of that money just literally disappears into the ether. So that's why the £11 million, I'm not sat here, you know, tears rolling down my eyes, yeah, out my eyes, down my face, because it's pointless. You read that stat to me again, Scott. What did the Athletic report? What was it?
Man United's player sale profits since 2012 is 110 million versus Liverpool's 358, Chelsea's 583, and Man City's 233 million.
That's huge. Hundreds of millions in transfers difference to your rivals. Hundreds of millions. And they're winning trophies and you're not. It's just the bottom line, isn't it?
Simple as that, really. It really is.
Sick.
You know,
that's sick.
United's grand plan was to, I don't know, do it with, you know, that contract for Phil Jones that they gave a few years ago in 2019, I think, for 4 years. He's still got another year left on it. Give on $100,000 a week or something like that. Oh, yeah, Phil Jones, let's just protect his value and that kind of stuff and just end up trying to sell him. You can now see that United cannot sell Phil Jones and have been trying for a long time but just can't do it because he's on extortionate wages, which no other club will pay. Anthony Martial, the same. You know, Dean Henderson is probably one as well. They've given a new contract to on wages that are massive and all they can do is loan him out to a newly promoted club.
And this is Ed Woodward, all in, again, in a nutshell. So this is how the guy that ran your business from day one when David Gill left and came in and took over, this was his strategy that has blown up in your face. And now he's waved away. Thanks a lot, United, for the years. You know, I left you with a UEFA Cup here and a League Cup there and an FA Cup there. But by, you know, complete failure. And now you're going to have to rebuild. So this is what I said about United being a joke in the marketplace, because agents and players look at United and go, you've not done a very good job behind the scenes, have you? So you don't fulfill your promises that you tell players. And I think that's a big problem for Richard Arnold now, because you're going to have to create something completely new and exciting, but at the same time, have some real true value to it. You know, you can't just make it up. Man United will never be the Disney World of football, as Edward would want it to be. You have to be a serious football club. That means winning football matches. And Man United have not been very good at that recently.
Let's talk shiny new players now, because obviously that's what fans want to see. Anthony's one player. I was going to do De Ligt first, but I think Anthony might be the best one to start with, so I'll just rejig. Anthony has been in the news this week. We at Nightingale reported on Monday or Tuesday that United had strong interest in him. I think there was a report which came out which suggested that United were close to signing him for £40 million. They'd send a delegation over to talk to Ajax and this kind of thing. That was £40 million, I think, is a bit optimistic. And I think that's what we reported at the time as well. Getting Antony for £40 million is... I don't think United can do that. I don't think United are capable of that. Let's just put it that way. So we'll see. But that's not to say that Antony isn't open to a transfer. I do think he wants to leave the club ahead of the World Cup and test himself at a higher level. But you look at the players who are going for the similar positions in the Brazil national team and look at the figures that are involved with them. You look at Rafinha, $55 million. Gabriel Jesus, $45-50 million, probably. Richarlison, probably around $50 million if he ends up leaving Everton this summer. And then why Ajax, after they've already sold Sebastian Allaire and Mazraoui's gone, Ryan Gravenberch has gone to Bayern Munich as well. Ajax don't need money, so why would they sell on the cheap kind of thing? But Antony might end up pushing this through at some point. But I mean, as far as we understand it, I mean, Frankie de Jong is top of the list, and that's the deal that United want to get done first. And then Antony may end up following later. But we also did report on Thursday that his representatives were in England a few weeks ago to talk to United and also Chelsea. And that has kind of spread like wildfire over the last day or so. Not to say that Chelsea are seriously in for him. I think Antony may still prefer United and reunite him with Ten Hag. But do you think, are you optimistic on the Antony deal, Rob? Do you think Chelsea could end up getting in the mix here and causing a problem for United?
Probably not. I think it's also valid to again, to let fans understand, I think we said this in previous weeks, that Manchester United's business operation operates out of London. So quite often agents end up in London and they talk to several clubs, including Manchester United, because they're all within on a postage stamp near each other and they'll go and do the business. They'll go and talk about their clients. From what we know, Antony has a big leaning towards Manchester United as it stands. He'd like to have a reunion with Ten Hag. He really likes the manager. He's one of his boys. And that's definitely his preference. But I will insert the Darwin Nunes clause here. And that was that Darwin Nunes, the big thing for him was coming to the Premier League. That was the first bit. So this is why when Man United got involved with that, it was way before Liverpool made their interest known. But what we did know was that the player 100% was coming to England. And I think that's kind of where we stand with Antony and his representatives. So if Manchester United, say, pulled the deal, say they're not interested, then I would not be surprised if Antony does go to a Premier League team and goes for a big price. The 40 million, which was initially kind of mooted and put forward, came from the English side of the story. And that is quite often a thing. So when it comes from our side of the fence, the price is always smaller. Just the way it works, because that's what Manchester United want to operate around, and that's what they feed their journalists and their contacts. He's never going anywhere for £40 million. Like you just said there, Rafinha, you're talking a team like Leeds that just survived relegation. He's going to go for over £50 million. You know, you're talking about Gabriel Jesus, who's a reserve at Man City, but of course played plenty of games. He's going to go for more than that. So why would you take a hot talent like Antony and take 10, 15, 20 million off him? So Man United want the player. They're going to have to pay for the player. And they are in lead of that race. You just said there you think De Jong will happen first. I'm not so sure. I think the United have got three or four players that they would like to sign. And I think the dominoes will just fall as they fall. It's just a case of getting them over the line in a time frame that helps the manager, that helps you around the pre-season start. Do not be surprised if Man United still buying players on transfer deadline day. It will probably happen because that's what United like to own that bit.
There's
of the
some
media.
Great value to be had on deadline day, Rob.
You sign a player on deadline day. It's the biggest story in the universe. That's what clubs do. They do it for that reason. That's why it's a thing. So do not be surprised if that happens. But I think with the players that we've been talking about and talked about consistently, I think Antony and De Jong, I'm fairly confident. I think United are in the lead in those races. It's just a case of negotiating with their clubs. Barcelona want the best fee possible for their player. Ajax will absolutely want the best fee possible for one of their top talents who's done so well at their football club. And they also both know, Barcelona and Ajax, that Man United are desperate to get business done. So, of course, you're going to wait. and push it as far as you can and get the maximum fee. You know, so you talked about De Ligt there. We should talk about him as well. Again, being shocked by his club. And I think this is where it all kind of merges together. Is that when United are looking at positions, you need to assess what's on the market, what's serious, but also what's just kind of more transfer bluster that comes out of countries and out of their nation's media.
Just before we do De Ligt in more detail, do you think De Jong will happen? Honestly.
I think that both, you know, this sounds like sitting on the fence, but it's just the position that I have. I think both are kind of 50-50, those deals, Anthony and De Ligt, simply because there'll be a desire for Manchester United to get the deals done, but those clubs that are selling can just say no. And that's where we are in those deals. So Barcelona was shopping De Jong, and they made it quite clear that they will sell for the right price. I think Ajax will sell again, but for the right price. And nothing comes easily here for Manchester United. So United will at some point have to put offers in that tempt these clubs. And then the deal suddenly gets done. But like you highlighted at the top of the show, players are on holiday at the moment, and that does matter. The next 2 weeks, it's normally a little bit of a funny time. You know, agents are doing their jobs, clubs are doing their jobs. Players are on the outside looking in a little bit more, directing things from their holiday bed in Marbella on their cell phones, trying to make stuff work, but not actually being involved themselves. So I think it's a wait and see. And I do think it's 50-50. I mean that sincerely. And I think United have got a very good chance of getting their targets, because eventually United will have to roll the red carpet out to these agents. And once you do that, then things move a little bit quicker because the agents are involved and they start conducting the band.
Yeah, obviously we've talked midfielders there. We've talked Anthony, who's a wide forward, plays on the right-hand side, cutting in with his left. United would like, I think they probably like another midfielder as well. If they do get De Jong, obviously they're linked with Christian Eriksen too. Mm-hmm. Do they need a more all-action midfielder too? We'll wait and see. But obviously United are looking at defenders as well. A name linked this week is the lad from Feyenoord, Tyrell Malacia. Not going to talk about him today in too much depth, but a Dutch teammate of his, Matthijs de Ligt, reports from Italy suggesting overnight that he is on his way out of Juventus. He has a release clause, I think, active or becoming active at some point, but the chat is around a fee of 68 million might be enough for Juventus to do business there. United have been looking at, or they want a centre-half, but they, as we mentioned on the show earlier this week, there are three defenders in there, perhaps four, that United would like to sell. I mean, Victor Lindelof would go for the right offer, I'm sure of it. Eric Bailly is on the market at the moment. Axel Tuanzebe is on the market for the right offer. And Phil Jones, we've already mentioned as well. De Ligt has been a target of United's before. And obviously, with Erik ten Hag, former Ajax coach, now installed as United manager, and the absolute slew of Ajax players or Dutch players or former Ajax players that have been linked with United. This one is inevitably going to come up, isn't it? It's Chelsea Chelsea are looking for maybe two centre-halves this year. So they're the ones that have been installed as, you know, the name to go alongside this story. But I think United will get involved in this, whether they want to or not. with media reporting over the next few weeks. So would this make a good fit? Because he's not blessed with pace, is he?
He's a really bad fit. I think he's a really good player. I do like him. I really like him. And again, it's about all the moving pieces, about what do you do? Like you've just said there about these outgoing centre-backs. There's no doubt, I think a chunk of them will be moved on because I think you've got to get them off your wage bill again. But I think when you look at De Ligt, what do we know about this deal at the moment? Well, Chelsea have been approached by Juventus and intermediates that they would be willing to sell for the right price. Again, this is a slow one because it's about Juventus getting the money that they want. They obviously made a huge investment in De Ligt originally. He does have a release clause, which is completely unrealistic. I think it's around 120 million euros. That isn't going to happen. That's not a thing. But if De Ligt does want to leave Juventus or De Ligt does want to come to the Premier League, someone's going to have to pay a lot of money for him. Now, do I think that'll be Manchester United? The truth is, no. I don't think that he... I think when you can get Pau Torres for a reduced fee and he will fit your system a little bit better, great. You're probably more likely to go for him. But even we said off air and we've said it, you know, behind the scenes, the Pau Torres thing has gone relatively quiet. And that's because Manchester United don't see him as the number one priority. They just see him as a priority if they want a centre-back. And this is where De Ligt fits into it. Is he a player that Ten Hag will go, actually, now he's on the market, I love him, he's the player who was great for me, and I want to build around him. He's actually going to be my captain. I want to bring him to the football club. That could happen. That could be a thing. I think at the moment, he's more likely to stay at Juventus or go to Chelsea, I think, being completely honest. But if he's on the open market, Manchester United will be approached. There's no doubt about it. Manchester United will ask about pricing and wages because, again, he's the kind of player that Ten Hag, I think, would like at his disposal.
Yeah, I mean, that, I think that's inevitably going to come up if he is going to leave Juventus at some point this summer. Why would you leave Juventus, though? I mean, you know, they just signed Paul Pogba. They got Dusan Vlahovic. They've got... I was going to make an Adrian Rabiot joke. There's something in 90 Min Towers at the moment, just talking about Adrian Rabiot and his skills or lack thereof.
All of the top clubs, Manchester United included, have got to move players off their wage bill. So sometimes you've got to get creative and you've got to sell players that maybe in years gone by you wouldn't have. And you've got players on big wages and you've got to trim it to go and do the business that you want to go and do. So Barcelona, a classic example of that, is that they cannot start season just by doing what they did last year. Because Real Madrid absolutely took them to task, didn't they? Real Madrid won the Champions League and La Liga. You're forced to go and do business. Manchester United have just watched Liverpool get to a Champions League final, Man City win the title, and both of those teams score in the high 90 points, and you're a million miles behind. You therefore are forced to do business. You have to get rid of players to be able to bring players in. So this is why these things do take time. But a lot of this shopping that goes on at this time of the transfer window is also normal. We see clubs put it out there. Don't put players on transfer lists anymore. That's not a thing because then you have to trigger stuff in contracts and pay players off. But you allow agents to go and talk to other clubs, maybe in a kind of more open manner, to see if they're interested in your asset. So De Ligt, I think, is something that's going to roll. I think we'll hear a lot about him in the weeks ahead.
Let's talk pre-season then, because the season's only just finished by the seams of it. But next season is already on our doorstep. A number of players who were not on international duty, I mainly think of Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford here, will be due back early next week, I believe on Monday, to start work with Erik ten Hag, his coaches, etc., etc. I think United fly out on their pre-season tour the week after. So, you know, that's coming. And United's players, Marcus Rashford, has been hard at work in the gym. Jadon Sancho has been hard at work playing basketball and in the gym. Axel Tuanzebe has posted a picture of him with his shirt off, absolutely ripped to shreds. You've got Anthony Elanga did the same a few weeks ago as well. Preseason training starts now. Are we going to see a... Given how last season ended, Rob, and how, for me, it just looked like the players were completely disconnected. They were playing within themselves. We obviously spoke about this the other day as well. United were playing so within themselves that any kind of improvement in effort will probably see them look a whole lot better going into the new season. Do you think it's a new chapter now? Do you think these players who were underperforming, maybe injured at the back end of last season, will refocus and look like the players we know they can be?
It is undoubtedly a new chapter. So that's the first bit, you know, you turn the page. And I think it's actually quite good to see these players taking their summers seriously. So they're going, do you know what? I've got a new boss come in. Now, do you know, we talked about this with Ralf Rangnick, and didn't we? And we talked about the transition between Ole, Ralf, and today. And it's way too obvious for these multi-million pound young men in their 20s to say, well, this bloke Rangnick who wants us to counter-press, what's the point? I don't need to. I've got a new manager coming in. He's the guy I need to impress. So I'm not surprised that we've seen all these guys, as I said, running up hills like this, doing the whole Rocky thing and showing their abs off. You know, Axel Tuanzebe, oh my God, looked like the Incredible Hulk in his picture. And you know, Axel Tuanzebe, he's a good footballer. So I look at that and I think that's a pleasing marriage there. Those two, you could bring Tuanzebe in, and you could bring Ten Hag in, and Ten Hag on day one might get in his head and find something. So when you're a new manager, that has to be the route. And this is why I say to fans to be patient. Not because I'm saying to you, oh, I'm a Glazer guy and I want you all to be cool on the Glazers, you know what I mean? Not at all. You know, be hard on the Glazers, but also understand that a new manager has to meet the players first. Ten Hag has not met any of these people yet. So he will meet the squad because you can't sell everyone. And I hope that with his methods and the way he manages and his tactics, that's so important, the tactics, that he can teach these players to be better than what they were last year. I mean, the big issue last year, Scott, is that they just didn't run enough. You look at them, they're kind of overall malaise around how they performed. People might look at Paul Pogba and say, that's the kind of guy we don't want. But when you look at the rest of them, they were all worse, I think, than a Pogba or anyone like that. At least Pogba is a languid style. But when you look at other players who should be running more and they weren't, you've got to question why. And I think that's a lot to do with the whole Ranić issue. This is why Ranić's no longer involved at the football club as well, is that this is a new chapter. And I think that now you have to say to Ten Hag, go and work with these guys. Get them running, get them fit, get them prepared. And as I said yesterday, actually, I will judge it on day one of the season. That's when I'm not going to judge it in a window. I'm not going to judge it in pre-season. On day one, when I watch United, that's when I'll either get really excited by it, what I can see, or I'll be like, those six players all look very samey. That doesn't mean that he can solve it on day one, but you just want to start seeing those kind of green shoots of recovery, don't you?
Yeah. Two questions I have for you, Rob.
Okay.
Could you pick a couple of players that you have a gut feeling will be different and look a lot better than they did last season under Erik ten Hag? And secondly, how long do you give it until we get leaks about players being dissatisfied at training methods?
Maybe next Wednesday, probably. I think we won't hear a lot of that in the earliest time with ten Hag. The simple reason for that is that any leaks get out in that manner, those players are gone and they're gone quick. So I think that Ten Hag will be pretty ruthless with that. I don't think he will allow any of that to kind of happen on his watch. Players I think will be better next year. I do think that Jadon Sancho will show a lot more. So Jadon Sancho, for me, needs a coach who is going to allow him to do the technical things that he was good at Borussia Dortmund. And he's not had it at United, let's be honest. He's been used left and right, a little bit of centre, moved around, playing in a 4-2-2-2, playing in a 4-4-2, playing in a 4-3-3, playing in a 4-2-3-1, and it was just like all over the shop, wasn't it? So I think for him that he'll be given a position. I think that will be the left side of the attack. Could be the right, depending on whether Antony gets done or not. But I think he will play something that he is more used to consistently. And we did see last year, Scott, didn't we, that when he did look good, you could see that there was something there. There's a player there, isn't there? I think the other player that I'm looking towards next season is Marcus Rashford. Now, I know kind of Mark, we just kind of mentioned him before. Marcus has to be much better than he was last year. That's undoubted. But again, I do think that he needs a coach that understands him and helps him be the player that he can be. We've seen in the past that he can return metrics of goals and assists. He's never going to be Mbappe, right? So let's put that out there straight away. Fans look at him to be an elite level striker or completely garbage. And he's neither. He's somewhere in the middle going towards being a very good player when he can be. It's a World Cup year. He needs to be good this year to get in that England squad. I get the feeling he's ready to perform. But those are the two for me. And I really hope the other one is one of those defenders. Because I think you look at the back four and what they did last year in Ole's last season, and they did well. So you're looking at one of those guys to step up immediately. Luke Shaw, Varane, you hope. You even hope to an extent Harry Maguire can show that he is a true ball-carrying centre-back rather than being just a very slow, poor footballer. So those three or four for me are like the existing bunch, and they're the players that will get their chances in the earliest weeks under Ten Hag.
Yeah, controversial one, Harry Maguire. I mean, I saw some media did a Vox Pop video a few weeks ago about should United sell Harry Maguire, and like all of the answers were yes, get him out, get him out. I've never been that way with Harry Maguire, really. I kind of do hope that he's had a hard time. I do kind of hope that he might lose the captaincy. He might. And I think if I was to guess, I think he probably will. But that might help him out. I mean, I would like to see Maguire just get a bit of confidence back, because we know his deficiencies, obviously, but we haven't even seen a lot of his positives and why United did end up spending that much money on him, because they must have saw something.
Well, there's two things about it. When you look at, we just talked a lot, haven't we, about players where clubs are creating a market for the player. So if Manchester United wanted to sell Harry Maguire and create a market for him, they're not going to get anything either like his value or what they paid for him. So you go back to Leicester and you say, do you want this guy back? And they go, yeah, we do. We'll give you 32 million. Man United go, oh, right, okay. You go and bang on someone else's door and they go, no, we'll give you 35 million. United are going, oh my God, we don't like this market. And I think that's where you are with him. The other side of this is that we know that the manager, the new manager, likes Harry Maguire. He's been very complimentary about him and says that he thinks he's actually a really good player and wants to find out why he had a bad season. Because I think this is what Ten Hag is doing. There's going to be a lot of this root and branch with players and say, okay, you were good. You were a world record defender not so long ago. You took England with you. There's being a major part to Euro finals. You helped United get to European final. Why did it go so bad last year? And do you know what? There might be reasons that we don't know. So this is where you leave it. That's where you have to get Ten Hag to go and do his thing. And I actually think it's better management to go and find those things out first before you just flog players. Yeah, you could say Phil Jones might not help you. And if you pay him off or you let him go on a free, you might be able to move him on. But do you want to do that with all of the squad? Yes, I know fans do want to do that. You'll have a poll and 92% will say sell him. But you can't just sell him for nothing. You can't. You can't do it. And I think that Rafael Varane was every bit as guilty as Harry Maguire last year at centre-back for United being bad. I really do. I think that so many United players had a problem last year for whatever reason, injuries or bad form or whatnot. So many of them. You know, is Luke Shaw suddenly a bad left-back? Well, the year before that, he was the best left-back in the world. And last year, he wasn't because he had four injuries. So what do? Sell him? No, it's silly. So you have to have a level of patience at this point of the build, Scott, and then you can kind of start moving forward. That's why I say that September 1st is really important. I think United will do more business once the manager has seen some players and spoken to them. You know, Anthony Martial, classic one. You might talk to Martial and go, actually, you're my guy. I like you. You could be my centre forward. I could turn you into something. Man United fans don't think that, but the manager might.
I mean, a few years ago, everybody would have picked Anthony Martial over Sebastian Allaire, you know, 3 years ago.
1,000 times over.
Everybody.
1,000 times over. We would have gone, well, that guy's talented and that guy's a donkey. Now you've got Haller on the market and they're going to get a good price for Haller. Do you know what I mean? So Haller might be, again, a player that comes into United's sphere or a player that is gettable. I don't know where the deal with Dortmund is at the moment.
I think that's done. I think
it looks done and it looks like a decent price. But again, he's a player that is like unfashionable, and football fans hate unfashionable footballers. They want to feel connected to someone who's on the rise, don't they? So there's so much wait and see here with Manchester United, because United will start spending money, but I'm just so focused, Scott, on it being the right players. Please don't give us 8 duds. Do not give us 8 Alex Tellerses. I keep using him as an example. It is no good getting someone for 11, 12, 13 million because they're really good at crossing the ball and they got 20 assists in a poor league. Sorry, Portuguese football fans. That's just how it is. You've got to make sure that the people coming in now are going to help you win from day one, but also develop your project over 2 or 3 years.
You stole my line. I was going to say there's a lot of players in there that we think could maybe do better. Alex Tellez, though, no.
I'd like to say, two in Zabi and Mengi are still players, two players that I look at and I think it's like a dream scenario, but I still look at them and think you could be United starting centre-backs one day. Now, I know that there isn't really proof in the pudding for me saying that, but I look at their skill set and what they do and their natural leadership and I look at them and I think, yeah. But again, this is up to the manager to make it work, isn't it? You know, I loved, Angel Gomez and people are like, why? And then he left the football club. So there's going to be players, I think, that do show in the next few weeks, especially over pre-season, that maybe they have more value than Manchester United fans believe they do.
Twanzebe turns 25 in November.
Exactly.
It's now or never for him. I just a final one as well. I do kind of hope that Ten Hag finds a way to use Fred effectively to his best. You know, I think United will sign some midfielders, but I think Fred will get a bit of a look in this season as well. So
I think Fred will. I think Fred and McTominay will. Like, McTominay's been given a new contract. McTominay, again, one of these players that is liked by the new manager. And let's be honest, even though he's disliked by United fans as a whole, I think fans do understand that he cares about the club, loves the club, and kind of gives his all. Again, he's a player that needs direction. So I think, again, with McFred, I think we'll see plenty of them next season, which will absolutely infuriate lots of United fans. But I do think the rotation just needs to be a bit smarter. You just need to have your top-level players actually playing at a better level than they were 12 months ago.
Yes, indeed. We'll see United return to preseason training early next week. I believe it's on Monday. So you can expect that the club's social channels will absolutely plaster us with pictures and videos of players meeting up, hugging each other, or jumping on each other on the training ground, spraying each other with a hose pipe.
I won the five-a-side today. Yay!
Yeah. Oh, five-a-side. How can I forget the five-a-side pictures? What a great bunch of stuff to look forward to, United fans.
Do you know, I am positive. I will leave it on a positive. I'm positive that this manager will come in and fix a lot of this stuff. A lot of the stuff that we just do not see behind the scenes, we'll see on Twitter and see in the public domain or in the media. He will be a strong coach and a strong figure, and he will get investment from the board. The board will buy players that he wants. It's just that you might have to wait a little bit longer for it. But I have faith in Ten Hag. I do. You know, I think that he's the right character at the right time for a club that's been flailing for so many years.
It's very easy to be negative, especially at the back end of last season. Obviously, with the dividends coming out today, we know that there's a lot of negative sentiment around United at the moment. But if you're going to enjoy football, you've got to be positive about it. So I'm going to try myself to get back into that mindset. I do think that Ten Hag will end up succeeding. That's just, I don't know, that's my Man United hat on. But I feel like they were so bad at the back end of last season.
So bad.
They were so bad at the back end of last season that it can't get any worse, and any improvement will be obvious straight away.
Fingers crossed, if the day comes that the Glazers want to sell, I pray United get the right set of owners to come in and do the job, whoever that might be. You know, not kind of making assertions here. But that's not a reality we live in today, is it? The reality is that preseason's about to kick off, and we have to have some investment in the actual football and the process and the new project. So that's kind of where I am. And I'm definitely positive about those things. I'm positive that these guys that were really bad last year can be better. And you know what? If they're not better, I also have faith that Ten Hag will show them the door.
Yes, indeed. You can subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, Google, Spotify, etc., and watch us twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays as well on YouTube. So head over to the channel, hit the like button, subscribe, join the community, leave a comment as well. We saw the comments the other day saying we should go live at some point. Maybe we will in the next few weeks. Thank you very much for that. Get in touch with us. The link should be in the description of this episode as well if you're listening on an audio platform. And you can follow us on Twitter @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B. And at PromiseAndMU, thank you very much for listening today. We'll see you on Tuesday. See you soon.